Amen. As we bring our offerings, bring our tithes this morning, don't keep all your money for the pancakes, okay? Just kidding. What we do when we symbolize through our giving here on a Sunday every week is that we are co-partnering and co-laboring in His plan for this planet. His plan is the gospel. So in our giving, all we're doing is we're saying, this is my agreement. This is my vote. One man, $1. So Father, this morning as we, through our giving, come and stand in agreement with this gospel, this wonderful message that will transform this planet, we thank you now that we give cheerfully and knowing that you watch over us to provide and to care. In Jesus' name, amen. And maybe one of these days we'll take up an offering for this thing. Gary, is that noise in my head real or imagined? Should I take this? Okay.
Preachers, this is for pastors. Okay, a little clearer. Ezekiel chapter 47 from verse 1. Can we have the verses come up? That'll be great, thanks. Just two passages this morning. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, say temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple was facing east. And the water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me through and the north gate and led me round the outside of the outer gate facing east. And the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits. And then he led me through water that was ankle deep. Say ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000, led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off 1,000, but now it was a river, say river, that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. A river that no one could cross. And he asked me, Son of man, do you see this? Son of man, do you see this? So I pray, Father, this morning for prophetic eyes that would see prophetically this picture that you brought us through this prophet this morning. In Jesus' name. Man of God, woman of God, can you see that? The second picture I want to show you is found in John chapter 5. And reading from verse 1. You'll notice both these prophetic pictures involve water. And if you've been around the last few weeks, you'll have heard me speaking a bit about water. At the conference, that last Sunday when Rob was with us, I just had a sense of a water in a swimming pool that was so pure and so pristine and so crystal. The pH level. You've got to get the pH level right if the chemicals are going to work. And when the pH level is right, just a handful of chlorine can make all the difference. And that's what I felt on Sunday morning as Rob started ministering. It felt like he could have just got up and said, bah, bah, black sheep. But the pH level was so good. There's such a receptivity in this house. Anyway, that gave you time to find John, chapter 5, reading from verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool. Say pool. Which is Aramaic called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. Sounds like the people that Jesus came for. It's the sick who need the doctor. The lame, the crippled, the blind. And one who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool. When the water is stirred, while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." And then Jesus said to him, "Let me help you down to the pool so you can get in." No. Jesus said to him, "Get up. Pick up your mat and walk." At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." Here we go. Two very clear prophetic pictures involving water. And if you were here last week, you would have heard me contrasting what kind of Sunday are we looking at as a church? A training pool or a event pool? A gala pool? Do we look at Sunday as the day when it all culminates in this big event and hopefully that's going to change me, my family, and the world? Or am I looking through Sunday at Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and seeing Sunday as a training pool, and I contrasted those two pictures. I'm wanting to contrast this morning, but coming in different from a different angle, a river and a pool. A pool, on the one hand, is how much water can you get in a pool? As much as the pool takes. How much water can you get into a river? The river keeps flowing. The difference between a river and a pool is a river naturally can stay fresh as it runs. A pool, on the other hand, will stagnate. The difference between a river and a pool is that a river is going somewhere, it's released and flowing. A pool, no matter how pristine and how crisp and crystal the water is and how good the pH level is, it pretty much is static. A river needs less effort by virtue of it being natural. A pool, on the other hand, for those of you who got, you can say amen, or just shake your heads. So I'm going to fill it up one day and just cover it with grass. Is labor intensive. So there's, in the natural there's some difference and contrast about. So we spoke last week about a church as the Sunday has been either an event or training. And let me just say that I need to stop here and just remind everybody that I'm preaching as much to myself as to anybody else. When I say that often we can see Sunday as the build-up event, the happening, instead of seeing Sunday as what it really is a place where we have an encounter with the presence of God, where the gifts are in operation. You see, in an event show, we're looking for man of power for the hour. In a training situation, we're looking for the gifts of the Spirit to come into operation. We're looking for the body to be built up. And we don't just look at Sunday as the day, we look through Sunday to the harvest field. You see, the Great Commission came to the church, to the believers rather, before the church was established. The church only got established as the instrument through which the kingdom would continually be declared and demonstrated. So the Great Commission was first given. In that Great Commission, you can see the parallel of a river. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. In a pool is where the early church nearly got trapped before persecution came, and by chapter 7, 8, got them into the Great Commission again. I think they just began looking, as great as it was in chapter 2, all the believers together and praying and fellowshipping and enjoying the favor of God. God was adding to the number. As great as all that was happening, as clear as the water is, it can only have a limited amount of water in it. This swimming pool that we thank God for has got to find some sluice gates if it's going to be effective in flowing out. So just looking at this contrast here, that a pool, as wonderful as it is to come and bathe on a Sunday, is not what the church is all about. It'll become a bottleneck because only a certain amount of people can be active and function and be productive for an hour and a half, 2 hours on a Sunday morning. But when we see this force on Sunday gathering together for that empowerment and equipment of the Holy Spirit, the release of gifts and the body being built up, we get more excited about Monday morning when we find ourselves at the office, when we find ourselves at school, when we find ourselves at the board meeting, when we with our children, because we begin seeing that Sunday is only the place where I'm being equipped and envisioned and filled and strengthened. Now you say, but don't we know all? Isn't this like, don't we know this? Well, here's the problem where we think we know things. Janet and I are sitting having coffee at Nino's. And as people are milling around us, I said to her, you know, we've actually lost touch with this world. We don't have bridges anymore. It's like we build up. Sunday happening, and then Monday we're too exhausted to speak to anybody. And then Tuesday we're with Christians, Wednesday Christians, Thursday Christians. Now I know that's a big part of what we call to equip the saints. But it's quite sad when you find yourself isolated in a sea of faces and people, but feeling like an island of irrelevance. And my only prayer is, God, I hope they're doing better than I'm doing. So if all I've got to invest my life in is to see you so in love with Jesus, so oozing His presence, so full of His kindness, and so much that the life of Jesus is reproduced in you that you can't help doing the things that He said you would do and even greater things, then the church is becoming a river. So a couple of things I saw here in John is in John 5. There were five things I saw. Number one, the kinds of people Jesus came for. That was in verse 3. The lame, the paralyzed, the blind. But secondly, these people were nursing the same old wounds year in and year out. One guy had been there for 38 years. Reminds me of some churches. We can go year in, year out, nursing the same wounds, nursing the same curse, rehearsing our curses. We can, you know, in some denominational churches, they've got to change the pastor every 4 or 5 years because that's about as much as he can take until the next one comes in and starts all over again with the same problems, with the same people, year in and year out, year in and year out. Rodney Howard Brown said one time he was preaching in a church, it was so dead that someone had a heart attack and died. When the ambulance got there with a stretcher, they found 7 other people dead before they got to the guy with the heart attack. Lame, crippled, blind, spiritually deaf, and diseased shouldn't be. Now, I know that's not true here at 10 Harvey Road. I'm just talking about another church that you used to go to. But the point is, it says Jesus came to that place. Okay? The third thing I saw in this passage is what they were waiting for, something, the one day, the big happening that would change everything. Oh, if only... Only if it's today, I'm going to go to church, and I know today could be the day. You might be disappointed for 38 years. I spoke to a guy the other day. I said to him, I haven't seen you in church for a while. He says, you know, I've done the church thing. I've done it, and it just didn't work for me. And I'm thinking, what were you expecting to work? The water got stirred, and the angel moved? and you were just at the right Sunday for the right message, and you jumped in, and your whole life was changed. You had the wrong picture. And you could have sat there for 38 years waiting for something to happen. But Jesus came. I mean, I've heard that from other people over the years. Someone, and they're not in this church now, but we first came to this church. They felt called. They were going to do this big thing for God, and they were going to pour a huge amount of money into it. Their business was in the millions. They had all these dreams and all these visions, but not yet, because we've still been in preparation, because on that, and it was, and the next year, and the next year. And you know, that's 15 years ago, and to my knowledge, that guy is still in the same condition. 15 years. We can talk and dream and wait for the one big event. It's going to change our life. And then the fourth thing I saw here was at the moment Jesus came to him and said, "Do you want me to heal you?" He jumped into creative avoidance. You see that? You know how easy it is to jump into creative avoidance? It's like, "Do you want me to heal you?" "Yeah, but there's no one to take me down to the water." Okay, well, did you hear Jesus say, "Would you like anyone to take you to water?" I don't read it. I don't think they heard it. But his mind was so made up on how he saw Jesus solving his problem that his mind flipped into default. You know, we can be like that this morning. I'm trusting God for breakthrough in this area. The Lord says, "Do you want a breakthrough?" We say, "Yes, but Lord, no one has..." He says, "I didn't come here for, so you could tell me how I'm going to solve your problem. I came here to just ask you, do you want me to solve your problem?" Yes, Lord, but what about this? What about that? Excuses. No one's, you know, we can build our life on excuses. And we'll never reach our destiny. We'll never get into the pool. Because we'll always be too young. And we'll be too young until we're too old. Then we're too old. And then we're the right color, the wrong color. In between color. Undereducated, overeducated. You can't win. I can't get a job. I'm overeducated. I can't get a job. I'm uneducated. So what do you want to do? Middle educated. Creative avoidance is, why didn't you go to work today? I got a flat tire. Why didn't you change the tire? Oh, the jack's broken. Why didn't you get the jack fixed? Well, it's too far to go to the shops. Why didn't you get a lift to the shops? I could have got an accident. Well, why didn't you phone AA to come? I don't know the number. Sound like a teenager? No, no, nothing. And then the fifth thing I see over here is the religious small-mindedness. It's a Sabbath today. Don't you know you can be healed any other day but the Sabbath? You see, when, doesn't matter how clean the pool is, if it's left long enough, it's going to start to stagnate. We can have it in pristine condition. We can slap ourselves on the back and say the pH is just perfect. Everything's so good. Let's just build 3 tabernacles and enjoy the presence of God forever like this. And I'm saying it's just a matter of time. We can find excuses to stay on our mat. We can create avoidance. We can wait for that one day when there's something happens, which no one really knows. Jesus just arrives on the scene and he says to us, "Do you want me to make a difference?" Maybe where you are right now, you're sitting on your greatest opportunities and you don't even know it. All you got to have is Jesus present. The biggest challenge for us is to be able to hear him when he speaks and see him when he comes. That's all we got to be, is tuned in to hear that voice. Because maybe our breakthrough, miracle, whatever else he's called us to do, is closer than we actually think. Always reminded of that guy, that story, Acres of Diamonds. Where he wants to go and make his millions. So he packs up, sells the farm that he inherited from his father. Goes, travels the world. And then when there's an old man in a retirement center one day, he hears that they discovered diamonds on this little farm in Kimberley where he left. Now that's not an excuse for just staying where we are all our lives. But there is a principle there. Sometimes we're looking out there for the answer when it's a lot closer than we actually thought. Because if Jesus is in your boat, if Jesus is in the temple, if Jesus is in the house, all we've got to do is see what he's doing, hear what he's doing, and our miracle's closer than what we imagined. He comes. Okay. If an event pool can end in stagnation, let's look at this training pool where it can end. Because it ends in a river. And we saw in Ezekiel three things I just want to point out. First of all, it says in that first verse that the river flowed from the temple. Say, from the temple. You see, there's nothing wrong with there being a temple. There's nothing, if you've got to read the New Testament, you've got to be like brain dead not to see how active the church is. How necessary the church is. How important the functioning and the structure and the government and all those things of the church is. But not to be a pool. We see in this prophetic picture that Ezekiel gets that from the threshing floor, this river began. It flowed from the temple. So I'm not expecting what happens here on a Sunday to directly change the world. Yeah, it'd be great if fire fell from the heavens and suddenly there was an angelic choir that appeared and then billions of people from all over the planet had their TV tuned into what was happening here and we could change the world that way. That's great. But if that doesn't happen, I'm not waiting for the one big Sunday that's going to change the world. I'm looking at the one who came into the temple to change the world. And when he came to the woman at the well, he said, "You're looking for the wrong kind of water. I am the living water." And when that water is in this place this morning, inside of this temple, inside of this container, inside of that container, filling us as a temple, when this water, whose name is Jesus, the living water, begins to flow out of these doors, you want to see a world changed. You want to see a community healed. You want to see hope restored to those who are in depression and oppression. It flowed from the temple. This is the new temple. It's called the body of Jesus. And it's the same living water that came to that temple and said, "What do you want? Do you want to be healed?" Second thing I noticed in this picture in Ezekiel is that from verse 3 to verse 5, the water gets deeper the further it runs. It says there in verse 3, in verse 4, he measured off another, it was ankle deep. He measured off, let's read from verse 3. "As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and he led me through the water that was ankle deep. Then it was knee deep and then waist deep and then enough to swim." Now, who's familiar with this prophetic picture? A lot of us. But I want you just to stop and think of it like this. He has this pool in this temple. Maybe it's a fountain that's producing it, whatever it is. If it has no outlet, it's going to stay this size as this drum pit. That's all the water we're going to get in. Intensive labor to keep it clean, and it's limited. The moment there's a sluice gate, we would expect this level to drop. We'd also expect this water to run and stay the same depth, but it doesn't. He takes 1,000 meters and it's ankle deep. He goes another 1,000, it's knee deep. Man, I don't know about you, but I loved what Bill and Ann shared here this morning about their life group who got out of their mat, went out and made a difference in 100 kids' lives. 100 kids that will always remember that event where people came and there was living water. And someone shared a message that if they capture, can change their destiny and change their lives. You see, there's something about not giving up. Just because you're going now, Bill, and it maybe feels ankle deep. Just doing the same things, at the office. Maybe you're tempted. I've been praying for these people. I've been trying to be a good witness all my life. You know, I've made some mistakes. But it just seems like ankle deep, ankle deep. What's the purpose? I don't see any effectiveness. I don't see any change. If we will persevere, if we will continue in that, we're going to see. This is the season of fruitfulness right now. You're going to see waist deep. You're going to get to a place where it says that I couldn't stand. That's an that's a very, very precarious position to be in. You've been on the beachfront. Who of you like to feel a little bit of ground under your toes when the water's bobbing here? Just a little. I don't mind every so often, you know, going there like, ooh, ooh, ooh. But after about 5 seconds, I want to feel ooh, ooh again. Ooh, that's nice. I'm very brave. I'm very brave. But I don't want to be there too much. I get anxious. I'm not a deep water person, okay? So it's out there, right? I'm not like my son, can jump off the deep end of the pier and swim around to the other. It freaks me out. But that anxiety, I'm going to get to you later, that anxiety and that sense of fear and that sense of apprehension brings us to a place of, God, you better be out there. God, this better be you. I tell you what, Bill, you just got to persevere. You got to press in. I think some of the places you find yourself in right now, church, some of those relationships that you've been working at for years, you want to give up. You want to throw in the towel because it feels like it's just ankle deep, ankle deep. Let me just go back and to the swimming pool on Sunday and just lie there and suntan a bit and then leave me alone the rest of the week. But I want to say, if we'll persevere, if we'll allow sluice gates to begin flowing out, if we'll not look at this day as the event, but this day as through this day to the event. Your event, my friend, starts tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. And it might feel like it's ankle deep. Yeah, now some of you got very nervous there. I saw that. It's okay. You don't have to put your hands up now. Some of you might feel like same old, ankle, slosh, 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 slosh. Come on. The river gets deeper as it flows. It's not only geographically. It's talking about temporally as well. Time. Some of you have been laboring at certain things. And I used to feel like it sometimes in India. It would get up to knee deep and we get so excited and we go back the next year and we're back to ankle deep. Then up to knee deep and ankle deep. And that's why I was meeting with Mutu the other day. And when he said, he feels like he's in a new season there. He's starting to break through. Feels like the water's rising. The effectiveness is starting to rise. And then lastly, transform. This river brings life wherever it goes. In verse 6. Can you have those last few verses up? I just want to read these from verse 7. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side. Sorry, can we read again? Verse 6, is it up? Can I have it up? Chapter 47, the same one. Verse 6. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" And then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees. Say great number. See, there's increase, church. You better hang on to the seat where you're sitting because this church is getting a little small. Very soon. And it's not so that we can sit and admire our swimming pool on a Sunday because there might be more water out there than in here on any given Sunday. But it doesn't matter how much water is out there, it's not going to deplete what's in here. And this place is going to get full and the pH is going to stay good because people going and coming bring life with them. When I arrived, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. And he said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into Arabia where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because of the water flows there. It makes the salt water fresh. So there the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore." Told you I was going to get to you. "We'll stand along the shore from En Gedi and En Glan, and will be places of," sounds like in Scotland somewhere, spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamps and the marshlands will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. You've got to keep moving, church. Got to keep moving. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. So three things about this river. It flows from the temple, it gets deeper, and it transforms and brings new life. I was sitting having a coffee with James and Dave, and just on Tuesday, sharing with James, just this prophetic picture I had, even before I read this, I had this prophetic picture of rivers flowing into certain parts of KZN. Wherever they ended at a power station. And in the power station, there were turbines. And the water was used to drive these turbines to create electrification for those areas. Now, recently, doing a trip into Manguzi, I saw the benefit that electricity has brought to those communities. From Dundee all the way down to Manguzi, there's just electricity lines everywhere. The trees are growing, homes are restored, looking good, communities, roads are good. I mean, I was so pleasantly surprised. But I seeing the whole standard of living and the community, and these little communities just popped up everywhere that were kind of in the sticks, that were like almost, you know, rural squatter places, are now little suburbs. In the same way, prophetically, the gospel, when it goes into communities and affects the power station of the local church, it will drive energy into those communities that's beyond what this little swimming pool here in 10 Harvey Road could ever imagine. And part of our training is not just with the gospel, but enabling those who want to preach the gospel to find a livelihood that's not just passing a plate around on a Sunday. And we were chatting about this a bit, and the guys were quite excited. I get back to the office here. 20 minutes later, I don't know if I should mention his name, because now he might not have spoken to the life group. Oh, whatever. Richard comes into my office, and he says to me, I just had a very interesting meeting this morning with a pastor here in Valley of 1,000 Hills. And this pastor just loved this message about grace. Let me tell you, I've heard it in India, I've heard it in Russia, I've heard it here in KZN. Pastors are tired of religion. They are tired of third generation Pentecostalism, that all it's left behind is a lot of structures and monuments, but it's lost its movement, it's lost its impact. A whole young generation are being lost. And he says, this pastor said to me, I just love this message. Please, can you get hold of those DVDs for me? I want to show them in our community. So I said, oh, that's awesome, eh, Rich? He said, but that's not all. He says, we're going to start a little chicken farm there, because they need some form of revenue, because it's really tough. And they've looked at options, and quite frankly, some of their options are just not feasible and just aren't good business sense. So we're going to be taking some business-minded guys in and helping them establish a self-perpetuating, finance-generating, small little chicken farm that's going to help pay the bills. Now, suddenly we're excited. Now we're getting excited. A little swimming pool in 10 Harvey Road, driving a river down into a community where it's turning turbines, where trees are starting to grow with fruit and with food, and fishermen standing, throwing out their nets, bringing a harvest in to the kingdom of God. You see, this is what happens when we look through Sunday and the water flows out and makes a change. We're going deeper, church. Let the river flow. Get up off your mat of false comfort and become the river you are. And wherever you go with this message of grace, there will be transformation. We are not called to stagnate. We're called to propagate. Can we stand up and pray this morning? I've thrown out seizure. I know I've spent two Sundays talking around the same theme. And if you find yourself going, yeah, but I always kind of knew this, I want to say that's not the important question. The question is, are you seeing bridges? Are you seeing bridges? Are you beginning to look through what happens here on a Sunday and get excited about these kind of testimonies? Because they're sluice gates. I want to tell you, my friend, you can sit around for 38 years. You can sit around examining hurts, wounds, disappointments. And even when Jesus does show up, you don't experience a miracle because you're not hearing. And this morning I pray that you'll have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying right now. I believe the Lord would say, I've brought this people into a place of wholeness. I've brought a people into a place of clarity. And through this people, though they are smallest in their neighborhood, although they might even be despised amongst their people, I will take the least suspecting of people, a little downtown group on a road called Harvey, and I will take them and I will cause a river to flow out from their midst that will become a deep river too wide for people to cross. And they will look and say, where's the source of this river? And they'll come back here. I believe prophetically a sluice gate is opened. And Father, I pray right now over every person standing here, they just a sense of the prophetic of this would get hold of their hearts. I'm calling out, Holy Spirit, would you make this word confirmed this morning? Just while every head's bowed, I want to ask you, have you been born again? Are you part of this body of Jesus on earth today? Because if you can't answer that boldly and instantly as yes, then my friend, you have to be born again. You have to be born again. I'm not saying you have to go to a church. I'm not saying you have to stop bad things and try and become a good person. I'm talking about you're spiritually dead. You need to be born again. You need to call out on the name of Jesus for salvation right now. If that's you, just in your heart, I want you to pray this prayer and mean it, as the whole church is going to just echo it to encourage you through this prayer. Father God, thank you for Jesus. It's all about Him and what He did for me. And when He said on the cross, it is finished, He meant all my sin, all my rebellion, all my iniquity, it is finished. It is finished that I can never be good enough. I can never be righteous enough to be accepted by a holy God. It is finished. I have to accept what Jesus did only. And now, Father, I pray for these folk that have prayed this in their heart, that you would cause faith to rise up in them. Cause faith. Cause us to be the beginning of a journey today. Just give me the privilege of praying with you. If that's you right now, I want you to look up at me. I want you to make eye contact, and I want you just to raise your hand so I can see who I'm praying for. Right now, just lift your hand. Just lift your hand if you're saying, that's me, and I need you to pray for me. Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else? Amen. I presumed. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. I presume most people I'm speaking to have heard the gospel and responded. But there are these that haven't. So I want to ask you, can I have the privilege of praying for you right now? And you, just come here right now. Just come while everyone's standing. I'm not going to keep you long. Just slip out from your seat. Come and stand here. A few of us are going to get to pray for you in a moment. These people are clapping because they had to do this once in their life. They had to also do this. Maybe not in a church, maybe at home. That doesn't matter. But they're clapping because they feel like their family's been added to. You know when a new child is born and you go to the hospital and you delight in what's happened? That's why they're happy for you. So to all you happy people, have an awesome day. Can I have a few folk to stand here with these guys and gal this morning? To everyone else, have an awesome Sunday and be blessed.
Morning. Hi, guys. Just come a little bit closer.